Christ the solid rock I stand. You know, we're talking today actually about foundation and the foundation in which God has called us to be a part of. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, we know foundational things that should be a part of our lives and that are really important. But I think sometimes we miss them because we lack for a plan. You know, if you float through life without a plan, I mean, you just end up missing stuff along the way. It's just part of it. And so, you know, for us this morning, I think that that's true for us as a body oftentimes where we miss things and we miss them. We don't mean to miss them in life, whether it's things that we felt God leading us to do or to be a part of, but along the way, we miss out. And so this morning, we're talking about that. And specifically, as we go through this series, if you will, or even just really kind of this time in our church, I won't call it a series, because we'll break away from some of this kind of stuff and go back to teaching through Sermon on the Mount like we've been doing and some different things. But we want to talk through some very specific things. And we began doing that a little bit last week. And if you look at the passage that we taught from last week from Ephesians chapter 4, you'll see the pieces of this puzzle all together in that passage in chapter 4. You'll see understanding of these different pieces of what we see in Scripture, of what God is using to be really important pieces to the church. And specifically, these four pieces being to unite, to equip, to build, and to love. And so it's amazing what we see in that Scripture. And we'll be walking through that Scripture. We'll be going back to that Scripture from time to time. And you'll see that even today. We're going to look at a little snippet of it together. But as we do this, I just want you to know that our goal here is to try to follow the Lord and be in the church that He wants us to be. So in doing that, we see in this passage what He talks about in unity. And last week we talked about unity. And today we're still talking about unity. And you're like, why do we need to talk about unity 2 or 3 weeks in a row? Why in the world do we need to do that? I think Scripture has a lot to offer on individual subjects. I don't know about you guys, but I love sometimes, I love to be able to look at and go, I wonder what God would want for me in this area of my life. And if I'm not careful, I'll find one passage of Scripture and I'll adopt that thing and that'll be the only thing that I'm paying attention to. When in all essence, there's a whole bunch of other passages that speak to the same thing. And so we're going to take a few weeks just to talk about each of these things and what is God leading us to do and who is He leading us to be as His church? If you don't have a Bible, our ushers have got one. If you do have one, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have one, our ushers will give you one. Just throw your hand up and just hold it up there. But we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 today. And this passage in Acts chapter 2 is a passage that I've taught from many times. And to be honest with you, I've never taught from it in the light that I'm teaching from it in today. Specifically speaking, this aspect of unity and what we see God leading us to do in unity. I don't know if you think much about unity and what it takes to have unity. You think about, like, I don't know if you think about, like, your house, you know, the people that you live with, to have unity with those people. To keep unity in a home takes sacrifice. Am I right? Anybody that lives in a house with a woman can tell you that it takes hard work of sacrifice to keep unity in that home. You know, we're blessed to have a couple of bathrooms now, but I remember a day when we only had one bathroom in our house. You know, and sometimes you just have to sacrifice. Sometimes you just have to let them go do their thing. You know, I've especially learned over the years that with a pregnant woman, which we're not pregnant right now, but we've been pregnant 5 times, and there's a lot to be learned from that. And I can tell you that a pregnant woman, when she needs to pee, you know. And probably one of my most favorite things to do when Erin is pregnant is to make her laugh really, really good and so that she will pee herself. It happens, you know. And so, to keep unity, we have to work. It takes sacrifice, right? Sacrifice is key to the whole thing. And the truth is that this is true for the church. This is true for the body of believers. It takes sacrifice on different levels, on different parts for us together to sacrifice for one another. You know, sometimes that's just being willing to deal with each other, right? You know, sometimes that's just being willing to deal with the difference in opinions, not making the opinions that we have our gods and our idols. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's just one of the, we'll talk through, we'll see some of this past scripture. But you know, for us in general, to recognize that God has called us to be unified as a church. That's important. That's important. And we're unified with a purpose. We're unified for the mission of God. We're unified for His glory. We're unified to make Christ known. And so as we proceed through this stuff, and we'll be talking about these different pieces, the unite, the equip, the build, the love, these different things, we'll be talking about that stuff as we go through this. I just encourage you, seek the Lord, ask God to show you what He's calling you to do as a part of the body of Christ as we go through these things. Today, Acts chapter 2, I want to go ahead and jump into it because I really want to take as much time as we can to be in it and get as much as we can from it. Acts 2, verse 42, we see the good old Dr. Luke writing to us what he saw in this early church. This is the picture of the very first early church. This is amazing, okay? This is amazing. Acts 2, verse 42 says this. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." This is an amazing, amazing passage of Scripture. I don't know how many times I've gotten to teach through it, how many times I've studied on it. Every time I read it, I'm humbled by it. It is this picture of who God has called us to be as His church. Let me remind you, in case you're new to the crowd here at 24 or whatever, when we talk about the church, we're talking about the body of believers. We're not talking about buildings. We have to talk about buildings sometimes, and we'll do a little bit of that today, because God uses tools like buildings to allow us to do ministry at times. But when I'm talking about the church, I'm specifically talking about the body of believers, the people. We are the church. We are called to be the church. So when we look at this passage of Scripture, we're seeing things that don't have anything to do with buildings. Some of them have something to do with buildings. And I want to look back through this with you. Verse 42, it says this. If we're looking at this from a standpoint of unity, you know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking bread and the prayers. We're going to leave these passages up as we talk about them, because I want to kind of talk for just a few minutes about each one, because we're seeing pictures of what it looks like for the church to have unity. You want to have unity? Do you want it? You want to be unified with other believers as a part of the body of Christ? I do. I definitely do. And I think for us to move forward, to do the things like what we're talking about doing in the days ahead, and if you missed last week, last couple weeks, we've been announcing some things. We've been celebrating our 10-year anniversary. Last week, we announced that we're looking at building a ministry center for us to have some workspace and things, you know, different things going on like that. You know, as we're talking about this stuff, I just want you to know that our heart is that we want to follow the Lord. We want to make sure that we are trying to be the church that Christ would want us to be, that we would glorify Him in everything that we do. And so when we're talking about unity, we're seeing this picture. We see this picture here of the early church. We see an amazing picture of unity. So I can't help but ask the question, what are they doing that is leading to this unity? Well, we're seeing some of those things. Verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship." Well, let's just stop right there and let's talk about that for a second. They devoted themselves to teaching. Well, what teaching? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? It was Christ's teaching. They were following Christ's teaching. They were devoted to it. They were. You know, other passages we know, you know, have led us to see the importance of us to meditate on it, to hide it in our hearts, to allow God to speak to us through it. You know, Scripture is God's Word. And if you go, well, you know, how come my, you know, and this is a question I get sometimes, how come my Bible is different than other people's Bibles? Scripture in general, the Bible that we have, the 66 books that we have as the Holy Bible, you know, as God's Word, those are in there because those are things that Jesus and His direct apostles taught from. That's what we have. That's why, if you go to a different church and they got more books in their Bible, and they're like, where'd they get more books? Well, there's other things that were written out there, but the things that we have adopted as God's Word are the things that Jesus and His apostles taught from. So they, at that time, of course, they didn't have the Bible like we have the Bible now. Just imagine, like, they just had, like, you know, some bits, snippets, pieces here and there of things that Jesus had taught, other things, you know. And they were looking at the apostles' teaching, but they were devoted to it. I think it's important for us to ask ourselves the question, am I devoted to Scripture? Am I devoted to spending time in God's Word? Let me tell you what, the most amazing things happen in my life in the run of a week when I'm spending time in God's Word. I can tell there are moments that God allows certain things to happen. And sometimes they're not easy things, okay? So let's make it a Cinderella story here all the time. But there are things that God allows to happen in my life that I can tell in the run of a week on a day when I have spent time with Him and His Word. And when it happens, I have this moment where I go, God, You're allowing this to happen right now because I spent time with You earlier today, and you know that my heart is in a better place than it was maybe yesterday or the day before when I didn't spend time with You and You didn't allow it to happen then. There's just things that I think that we don't realize that we miss out on sometimes when we're not faithful to these things. And I don't mean that in any kind of guilt way. I mean that in go for it. Get after it. You know, spend time, be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Here's the truth. If we're devoted to Scripture, if we're devoted to spending time in God's Word, God's going to change our hearts. He's going to give us a heart where we want unity with one another. He's going to give us a heart where we want to fellowship with one another. Again, another piece that we see as far as how the church keeps unity is to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So here's this amazing picture that we see. And you know, a lot of people love to, you know, they do like the lone wolf thing. They just want to go to, like, we're going to go to church and then we're going to, like, go home and we don't talk to anybody all week long. We don't need anybody else. That's not how God created us. God created us needing biblical community with one another. Now, I know that crawls all over some people, and they're like, oh, no, I can do it alone. I'm just going to tell you. Let me be honest with you, okay? This past year, for whatever reason, I had some moments this past year, I'm talking about personally in my life, didn't have anything to do with anybody else. That just, I don't know, Satan just crept in, began to attack me, but he began to get me to believe that I didn't have people in my life that really cared. And you might call it depression, and I'm careful to use that word because I know a lot of people struggle with that in ways that I probably don't even understand. But I struggled. And I struggled because I bought in on a lie, and the lie was that I was alone. And that's a lie. And I know it's a lie. I know that I'm not alone. I know I've got a bunch of friends. I've got a bunch of people that love me and care for me. But we just have those moments in life, and it ebbs and flows with maybe other things that have happened in our lives. This passage is helping us to be reminded that we cannot do this alone. And we weren't created to do this alone. We were created to do this with others. Let me give you a little good piece of advice today. How about a good word? How about this? How about that Luke is painting a picture for us that a piece of the church in keeping in unity together is to have parties? You like parties? I like parties. We had a party with my 4-year-old yesterday for her birthday. Little mermaid cake stuff, gummy worms. The kids eat up some gummy worms. They left them raisins, didn't they? The gummy worms and the gummy bears, they were gone. The raisins are still sitting there on our counter right now. You know, I think for us to realize, I mean, you look at the picture that he's painting here, and the picture that he's painting here of the fellowship within the early church is a picture that to us modern day, we look at and go, well, that's a party. I mean, if we're fellowshipping together, we're breaking bread together, that's a party, right? And the truth is that we're called to enjoy this. This is something that we're able to take advantage of to enjoy, you know. And I know some of you introverted folks, you're like, oh gosh, I'm dying here. Leave me alone. I want to go in my hole, you know. I'm encouraging you. Let me encourage you, you know. Let me encourage you. God wants you to be a part of biblical community. You don't have to be a party animal, okay? I know you may not, you know, be, you know, getting all after that. But the truth is that God has called us to be a part of this, and it is good for us. And it is bad for us to shut out the world, okay? God wants us. We need this. He knows better about these things than we do. This is the beautiful thing. What happens, like, at our micro church, it meets at our house on Sunday nights. We're just now getting back into the swing of it from having baby and all that kind of stuff. And I'm excited about that because I miss this. Because I see the natural progression. Anybody that's part of our microchurch would tell you that they could see the natural progression in this verse alone. And what we see happening many times is that we talk about what God has spoken to us about that day through His Word. And gathering together on Sunday mornings. And then we fellowship, we hang out, and we eat together. We break bread. And who doesn't like to eat, right? Who doesn't like to eat, you know? Thank God for hot chicken. And so, you know, for us to see, I see, you know, we get together, we eat, and there's a natural progression that happens. We eat, and we end up hanging out, and before it's all over with, we end up praying together. There's never a Sunday night that goes by that I don't end up praying with at least one or two people, if not a collection of people. A lot of the guys end up kind of gathering in the man cave, you know, before it's over with. And a lot of us will just, you know, finally we'll just look at each other and go, hey, what's going on with everybody? How can we pray for each other? And then we'll share for a few minutes and then we pray for each other. Sometimes it's longer than a few minutes, right? Right? Yeah? Yeah. Troy will talk for an hour. And so, you know, it's awesome, though. It's good. I love it. I love our time together. And, you know, but we get together, we fellowship, we eat together, and we pray. And any of those folks will tell you that our lives are better for getting to do that with one another and being able to spend that time together with one another. What goes on? It keeps going. We see not just things that we do, but we see the effects of things happening here in this passage. Verse 43, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So we see this kind of effect of God working in the lives of these people. All came upon every soul, many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And we see this picture of God, the Holy Spirit, beginning to move through His people. You know, I don't know when the last time was that you just, like, said, you know what? I know we're busy, but we're going to call time out. We're going to spend time with some people. We're going to see what God has in store. And we're just going to wait on Him. And I can tell you, in spending time with so many of the folks that I've gotten to spend time in fellowship, and it doesn't have to just be micro church kind of stuff. I mean, being the church, sometimes just inviting a family over and hanging out. I can't tell you how many times we've gotten to do that and have conversations just of what God is beginning to do, or sharing struggles with one another and committing to pray for one another, that I have felt the Holy Spirit begin to move in my heart and move in their life too as we're sitting there and just hanging out. I mean, we need that. That's God using us. That's us being the church. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. That is an after effect of us seeking out the potential opportunities of being together in community. Verse 44 says this, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Read that again. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So, another byproduct is we become like-minded people. We have all things in common. So Chris, what you're telling me here is that Alabama fans and Tennessee fans will unite on game day. Maybe not. You know. No, I think it's important for us to look at this, and I think it's important for us to realize, You know, what Luke is talking about here is he's talking about the things that are important in this life. And you go, don't tell me my football is not important. Just hang on, okay? But he's talking about the things of the kingdom. He's talking about that we would lay opinions down to be united for the cause of making Christ known. That's an amazing thing. I mean, really, you think about it. And in general, that's hopefully, collectively, what we do, even as we gather as the church, that we're willing to say, you know, I can sit next to an Alabama fan. I got no problem with that, you know. You know, they can love Alabama on Saturday, and we can love Jesus together on Sunday, right? You know, I mean, there's this beautiful thing. By the way, I'm not a fan of either one, so I don't care. But, you know, there's this beautiful thing that happens when God brings people together that are nothing like each other. You know, there's been so many moments in my life when I have actually realized in the moment God has brought us together and we have hardly anything in common when it comes to things of this world, but God has brought us together and the only reason that we are together is because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thing to me. I look at the collection, if you will, of people that God has brought together to be 24 Church. Let me just tell you what. If you knew what I knew, you would know we got some jacked up people in this church, all right? Some of you are right here. But it's awesome. It's amazing. I love it. I love that God would bring people together that would never meet, never hang out, never have anything to do with each other. But He'll do that for His glory. And He'll do that to make Himself known. So that, think about what this looks like to the world, okay? That if they see us united out there, not just in here, but out there, they see us united, they see God at work doing something supernatural that He would bring people together that they're kind of going, what? Y'all hang out? Like you and you and you? Yeah, that's a God thing. God's glorified in things like that. Verse 45, it goes on, says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Let me tell you something. I've seen folks do this simply for the cause of Christ. Again, this is a byproduct of what happens when we find unity with one another in community, for the sake of Christ, this awesome thing begins to happen. We begin to look at stuff and we go, well, you know, it's just stuff. Can't take it with me, you know. Over the years, I have wrecked many a car, especially when I was really young. Man, did I wreck some cars. And I mean, just muscle car after muscle car, make people cry, you know. And I can't tell you how many times I've stood on the side of the road and be like a Metro police officer or whoever it be, and they'd be standing there, and like I'd have to console them, you know, over the car that I just totaled out or whatever, and they're like, oh my gosh, oh man, this is, you know, I'm like, dude, it's going to be okay, it's just this car, you know. I liked it, didn't want to wreck it, you know, but hey, life goes on. I've seen some people that have given of themselves and have done exactly what this passage says, selling and giving things away as they have seen the need because they realize that this stuff doesn't matter. It's an amazing thing when God begins to use people to do those kinds of things. You're like, well, I don't want to give away my stuff. This is a heart thing. This is a heart thing. And if you're careful, and if you're not careful, you'll force it into being something that it's not. If you're not careful and you're not there with the Lord, you'll just go, well, I'm just going to give away stuff. Maybe, you know, Jesus will love me more or something. It isn't about that. Jesus can't love you any more than He's already loved you. He gave His life on the cross, okay? That's done. The love, the amount of love that Christ has to offer to you, He has poured out in His blood and defeated death 3 days later on our behalf to show and prove that His love was as pure as it possibly could ever be for us and is as much as that He could ever give. We can't earn more love from Jesus. Don't fall into the legalism of like, I'm going to be a better person so God loves me more. It doesn't work like that. God just wants us to have a relationship with Him and to enjoy who He is. That's an amazing thing, by the way. And it's so freeing, hopefully, for anybody that has come from a past where they've been taught something different than that, where it's about, you know, earning, you know, your salvation or earning your, you know, your love from God and all these kinds of things. You know, you don't run in God's house, you're going to make him mad. I'm sure, you know, some of you are like, oh, I'll tell my kids that. Don't say not to do that. Well, God's going to be okay, all right? He's not going to get mad if the kids are running around. Look at my kids. God would be completely upset with them. They're like jumping, stage diving and everything else after services. And so, you know, when we look at this, we're just seeing something that, again, this is happening out of hearts that have been changed by God. And so the question, instead of asking, you know, maybe do I need to do that, is more importantly, is your heart where it needs to be with the Lord? Not should I do more things to make him happy? Okay, you see the difference there? I hope that you see that. I hope that you understand that. When our hearts are changed by God, there are byproducts of crazy things that happen that we do that to this world don't make any sense. And in essence, what ends up happening is people look at that and go, why in the world would they do that? Yeah, they could say, well, they're crazy. But if they know us and they know our hearts and they see what's going on, they're going to say, there's something supernatural going on in their life. God is working in them and he's using them for his glory. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Day by day, they went to the temple. So here's what we're going to do. Starting this week, we're going to start having church every day, okay? So y'all call your bosses and tell them, we're going to be in late. Looks like every day, okay? We'll come in maybe after lunch, not real sure. We'll probably go eat together. We're supposed to fellowship too, so... Preacher said he'd write me a note, you know, so no, you know, they did go. It was a different culture in that period of time, and people walked, you know, walking the streets all the time and that kind of thing. You know, we live in a completely different culture. We know that we're called to worship God and we're called to gather together and those kinds of things and to observe a Sabbath and all those things, and that's what we're doing here today even, you know, but for us to look at this, I think for us just to recognize that we are called to continue to attend together, I think is part of the unity. Again, you hear people say, well, I can have church on my own. Listen, you can totally go and spend time with God on your own at times. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt you can go out. Some of my close friends say, man, some of the best moments I have with the Lord are out on a lake or when I'm hunting or, you know, for me, it's a drag strip or whatever, you know. But whatever it is, you know, that's fine. That's great. That's good. But recognize there's still a need for us to gather together that we wouldn't go through this alone. Attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. It gets more specific now to getting into the home, right? So now we're talking about sharing our houses with people. And people are like, wait a second, preacher. I don't nobody comes to my house. You don't even know what my house is like. Don't be asking me to open my home to people, especially people I don't even know that well. And they might be crazy. You know what they might be? They might be crazy. Let me tell you what, it is a huge blessing when you get to that point in life when you realize, you know what, God's given me what he's given me for his glory, and I can use it for him or I cannot. And I can tell you that the blessing of getting to share your home with others is a huge and a great blessing. I encourage you just to try it sometime. Again, just it doesn't have to be 10,000 people. You know, invite a family over, invite another person over. You know, to have dinner, to hang out. Ask them, you know, Chris, well, I don't know how to do this gospel community thing. Just ask them what you can pray for them about. It shouldn't be that hard. And then in the midst of that, you can pray over dinner for that one thing, spend the rest of the night talking about whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. God will grow relationships and grow gospel community in time. And it takes time. And it is helped by food. They receive their food with glad and generous hearts. And here, I think Luke is being very specific. Luke was a doctor. He was a very educated man. We see how he wrote the book of Luke, how he wrote the book of Acts. There are very specific, detailed things that he writes that we don't see a lot of times in the other gospels and things. And it's I think, some of his education coming through. But he's wanting specifically for us to pick up on pieces of things like we, today in 2015, can't look and see what their hearts looked like. I mean, we do good to check the heart of the person that we live with or that are next to us. Like, how are you really doing? Like, what's really going on in your heart? Luke paints a picture of the byproduct that he sees going on in their lives, and he paints this picture for us to challenge us, that we would check our own hearts. He says that they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So they received it glad, they're thankful for it, and that's understandable. But not, it doesn't stop there. It's not that they're just happy that they got some food. I mean, I can just be happy I got some food. Well, you put some food in front of me and I really want to eat it, I'll be honest with you, I'm not thinking about anything else but eating that food. All right? You know, but didn't stop there. They also had generous hearts. In other words, that they were willing to share it. They were willing to give it away to others as they might have need. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Praising God and having favor with all the people. They were praising God. They were thanking God for who He was, for all that He was doing. This is a huge piece, I think, of for us as a church, for any church, to find unity together is for us to learn to thank God together, to praise Him together. The truth is that for the most part, a lot of us, when we seek to be a part of church or go to church or whatever it is, a lot of times we're really just thinking about like ourselves and like, man, I really need this today, or I really hope it's this way today, or you know, we become total consumers. It's just part of the culture that we live in, and we're looking to get what we can and that kind of thing. And in this instance, this is a picture of a church that gathers together to thank God and praise God for who He is, and a church that comes together unified in doing that. Amazing things are going to begin to happen. In fact, we see some of those things right here at the last part of this verse. It says they were also that they were having favor with all the people. In other words, they were loving everyone, even people that they disagreed with, even people that might be in sin. They were loving those people, and I can only imagine ministering to those people and trying to care for those people. But then it finishes off. It says, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And I am challenged by that. I am challenged that God has called us to be His church, and that means that we would continue to lead others to Jesus. You believe that? That's heavy on my heart. That's heavy on my heart, and that is part of the reason why when we got together this past fall, some of this I've talked about in the last couple weeks, part of the reason why when we got together this past fall and we collectively said, you know what, God is calling us to this. If He's calling us to this, then let's get after it and let's do it like He would want us to do it. And we said, you know what, there's going to be roadblocks. We already know of roadblocks that are going to keep us from furthering in ministry where we feel like God is leading us to go, but we got to follow Him, so what do? And we said collectively, you know what, instead of getting to those roadblocks and saying, you know what, we can't do anything about it, and we're just going to back off and just try to go somewhere else and do something different, we said, you know what, how about when we get to those roadblocks, we get to them and we pray over them, and we say, God, do You want to do something about it? You realize how much we do that in life? We get to roadblocks, and we say, well, you know what, it's just not going to happen. What would change in our lives if we begin to look at those things when we get to them and go, God, what do You want to do? Do You want to go through that thing? Do You want to go over that thing? Do You want to move that thing? And so little things like, man, we just need some workspace to try to be more productive with doing ministry day by day as a staff or as a church or whatever it is. I don't know how we're going to do that. Well, let's pray about it. Maybe God wants to do something about it. And that's how we end up at places like where we are today, trying to move forward with some things that we feel Him leading us to do. It's real simple, but the truth is that we make it so complicated, and we make it complicated because we make it about us and what we can or what we can't do on our own. But as we've been asking this question, who does God want 24 Church to be? We believe He wants us to be a church where we see the Lord adding to the number day by day those who are being saved. And you go, Chris, you just want to have big church. I'll be honest with you. I don't care how big the church is. I really don't. That's not up to me. That's up to God. Here's what I do know. I know that when I read and study on the things that I see in Scripture of God working and using churches, I see churches who are used and people are added day by day that they might be saved. I know we are called to lead others to Jesus. That's what I know. And when I say us, I mean us. And when I say we, I'm talking about we. I'm not talking about just Sunday mornings and that God's going to only use Sunday mornings to bring people to Jesus. God's going to use us, the individuals, the body of believers, to be the church on Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday all together, that wherever we go, whether we are gathered or whether we are scattered, that is a way that God is going to use us in individuals' lives, that He is going to use us, that they may see Jesus, that they may want also to be saved. Jeremiah 29 talks about this a little bit. I'm not going to the passage, but you can look it up for yourself later on. But Jeremiah 29 paints this picture of God's people, and He says to them, He says, go into these towns and set up camp, build a house, start a business, grow food, give it away, let your children marry others there, and be a blessing. And He makes a promise, and God says to them, He says, I will make you a blessing to that city. I ask this question. It's 24 Church. Are we as individuals, as the church, are we blessings to our city, cities, community, to our neighborhoods that we live in, to our neighbors that we live next door to? Are we blessings? Because that's part of the calling. It's part of who God's called us to be as His church. Last week I talked about counting the cost, and I shared this passage. I want to read it real quick. Luke 14:27, it says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? We have to count the cost. It's a part of it. Something gets put in front of us. God puts something in front of us. He's saying, it's Jesus saying, He's like, count the cost. Recognize on the front end, there's going to probably be sacrifice. There's that word again. Sacrifice. Well, that passage in Acts 2, what do we see those people do for one another? They sacrifice over and over. Possessions, time, food, their homes. They're sacrificing for one another. Why? Just throw some parties? Sounds good. Not just for the parties. So that no one has to do it alone. So that we would have gospel community with one another. That we would push on one another and prod on one another, poke on one another. And every once in a while, if we need a slap across the head, you know, to do that too. That we would be there for one another. That we would go after the ones that get away or think they're going to get away. Let them know that we care and that we love them. We want to build a gospel-centered foundation as a church. We know what God's calling us to do out in this community, but the truth is we have to be unified. And that unity can't just come from us just going, you know what, we're going to buckle down and we're going to be in this together. It has to come around Jesus Christ. It has to come around the mission of God. It has to come around the understanding that we've been called to make Christ known. And the other stuff isn't as important as sometimes we think that it is. But to count the cost, that means that we've got to sit down and we've got to think. I like counting the cost myself. When I get fired up, when I feel God beginning to do something in my heart, I begin to get fired up, I want to sit and talk. I want to start dreaming the dream. Because here's the beauty of dreaming a dream when God is doing something and he's at work, is that the dream is God-sized dream. It's not Chris-sized dream anymore. And I'm like, well, I mean, I might do this, but what would God want to do? You know? And so those dreams begin to be pretty amazing when you get to have them and when you get to share them with others and we get to pray over them or whatever. But it includes those things. It includes praying and seeking the Lord. I'll tell you, part of us being unified together is we need to pray and seek the Lord together, individually, gathered, scattered, whatever it is in our homes, on our own, driving to work, whatever it is, we need to pray and seek the Lord, seek His Word. How does God want to change you? How does God want you to be a part of the body of Christ? And forget about the name of 24 Church. I'm talking about for the kingdom of God. How does God want to use you for His kingdom? He's got a purpose for you. Do you know that? It is to glorify Him. It is to make Christ known. As we begin to dream and we begin to seek the Lord, He begins to lead us. And this is often a step that many of us get to. We get to the point where we know that God is leading us to do something, and now all we have to do is follow Him. But for some reason, and you guys know this is probably true if you've been following the Lord for any length of time at all in your life, for some reason there's a disconnect sometimes that happens shortly after that where we feel the Lord leading us to do something, but then all of a sudden, like, one day we wake up and we're like, well, what happened to that? What happened to that? I thought we were going to do something, God. No plan. There's no plan. The passage says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? When you build a building, you make a drawing, you make a blueprint. It's a plan. We wouldn't start building a building without doing this. This is actually a drawing of what's possible for out there. This is actually the first rendering, and within like a day, it was already outdated. We're like, no, it's not this, not that. We're going to do this, going to try to do that. Let's look at this, let's look at that. Why in the world, if we value building so much, and we're willing to make blueprints for them, why are we not willing to do so for our own lives? If we know that God is leading us to do something, do we not value the plan that we feel Him leading to follow in our lives, in our calling, to follow Him? Do we not value that more than we value bricks and mortar? I challenge you. Spend some time counting the cost in your own life and asking God to show you what He's calling you to do. And then begin to make a plan. You know, Chris, what are you talking about, making a plan? I'm talking about making a plan. I'm talking about with your life. I'm talking about with this week. Because here's what we do. We say, God, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. You know? And then God lays something on our heart, and we're like, well, I'm going to do that. But then, you know, we just never find the time. Right? You see what happened? Like, we just elevated everything else in our lives above what God might be leading us to do at times in our lives, because we'll make plans for anything else. We got these practices to go to. I got this thing. Need to get to the gym. Need to do this. Need to get to work. Got the lunches this week. Got all that planned out. We're making plans everywhere else except for the things that God is leading us to do. And so the reason that so many of us disconnect with what God is leading us to do and never follow through with it is because we never had a blueprint. A plan. It's real simple. It's real simple. I challenge you. I'm not trying to get you to be legalistic in your life or whatever. And, well, I got to plan God in and all this stuff. But I'm telling you, whatever helps you, whatever's helping you with other things in your life to figure those things out, I challenge you. If that stuff helps you with your relationship with the Lord, then do it. Follow Him. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in your life because you cease to make the plan. Remember, it's God-sized. And make the drawings of what it could be. Leave room for God to work. Leave room for God to lead. Leave room in life for the moments where God might say, hey, you know what? You need to have those people over tonight and just love on them and feed them some spaghetti. May it be good spaghetti. Spaghetti is a wonderful thing. So, building one is not just talking about building one building. We're actually looking at two buildings, by the way, if you didn't know. We're looking at a pavilion possibly out in the front yard to use for ministry stuff too, which already we're getting some quotes that it's like amazingly low. It's like, golly, if we knew that we could possibly do something like that cheap. I don't even know why we hadn't done it before now. We just didn't know, I guess. But, you know, building one is not just about a building. It's about this passage that we read last week from Ephesians 4. I'm going to read it again out of verse 4. Just a snippet of that passage. It says this, Ephesians 4, verse 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You know, for us to unite, I think that we have to know that we are uniting around one thing, and that is the mission of God. And there is only one mission of God, and that is to glorify Him, to make Christ known. And that's why it's important for us to spend time talking about something like unity. You know, Chris, we're pretty unified. I think we are a lot of days, you know. But I think that Satan loves to get in an attack. And I think it's wise for us to get into Scripture and go, who do we need to be as a church as we move forward, instead of just saying, well, let's just go for it and make it happen. Let's seek the Lord. Let's spend time with Him. Let's see what He has in His Word for us. As we talk about uniting, as we talk about equipping and preparing our hearts and learning from the Lord and preparing to give, as we talk about building, which is going to be getting work done, that's going to be an exciting phase, right? We get to see stuff like actually start happening. That's going to be cool. We're going to have to talk about giving. We're going to have to talk about sacrifice. But it's all just for tools so that we could continue to be the church that God's calling us to do and be in ministry. The disciples had to ask this question, you know, are we in this? Are we in for this? They had to count the cost. And they said yes. And we have to do the same thing. And I'll ask the question that maybe you haven't even thought of, but somebody else might ask. And nobody's asked me, but I've been thinking about it. Because anytime I'm thinking about spending money, I'm thinking about what could we be doing with this money for the kingdom that would be better used. And so we talked about this week, said, what about, why would we build something like that when there's so many people in need? Why would we take money and do that when there's other people in need that could use that and we could minister to them? Here's why. We believe that this is just a roadblock, a stepping stone for us to get through it, so that we as a church can not just minister to those people, but that we might be able to minister to those people better, and that we might be able to minister to more people in the future than just them. We're already trying, as we know, we're already trying to minister to people like that. And we'll never cut those people out for the sake of doing something like this. But this is a stepping stone for us to get there. This is positioning ourselves to serve better and to serve more. As the disciples asked the question of, am I really ready to do this, and counted the cost, they said yes. What did they say yes to? We see what they said yes to in Acts 2. I'm going to read these individual things that are from that passage. Not reading the passage, just reading the individual things. These are things that would show us what it looks like to be a united church. They were devoted to the teaching of the word. They fellowshiped together. They had parties, okay? Come on. Breaking bread, praying together, being together, had all things in common. They were willing to sell possessions and belongings to give those in need. They were attending the temple together. They were breaking bread together in homes. By the way, they attended temple together day by day. I think that that's just being, you know, this recollection of realizing, you know, we need to be the church day by day, not just Sundays, you know. Breaking bread together in homes, receiving food with glad and generous hearts. They were praising God, and they were having favor with all people. What was the outcome? The outcome was, and this is the scripture, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This isn't just about the building of one building. This is about us being one church. The church that God has called us to be. That together we would unite, equip, build, and love. Unifying around the mission of God. That we would do this for Him. And that we would unify around why we're going to do something even like build. That we would do this for the church and the community. You may be here today and you may say, you know, Chris, I keep hearing you talk about making Christ known. I don't even know if I know Christ. Hard to make somebody known if you don't know him, right? That's a fair question. And if you're here today and you can honestly say, I'm not sure if I know Christ, I want you to know that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross to take the death that we deserved for our sin, that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him. Hope in heaven and all that stuff comes along with it. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just about hope in heaven. It's not just about fire insurance. It's about God wanting to use us for his glory while we still suck wind on this little ball called earth. Let God use you. As God is speaking to your heart, don't ignore it. Pay attention to it. If you want to know Christ and you want to talk to somebody about that, we'll hang out afterwards here today as long as we need to, just to talk and pray with you as much as we need to. Sacrifice will come, and it'll be awesome. And we'll get to see God work, and it'll be amazing. And I pray that he gets all the glory for it. And I hope that we never go, well, look at what I did, and look at what I sacrificed. But I hope that when this is all said and done, we get to heaven, whatever it is, we look back and we go, look at what God did. Let's glorify him. Let's make Christ known. Others need to be saved. Let's pray together.